Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you all and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Valerie Burrell, grateful and thankful to each of you who have joined us on tonight. Tonight our topic is silence is not an option. And Lady Tish, if that's you that just called in, please press 1 so I can bring you live as well. Amen. I am grateful to God tonight to have with me 3 phenomenal women. 3 phenomenal women. Y'all, I'm telling you, 3 phenomenal women. God is so good. I didn't know these ladies. And I'm thankful to Shante, Lady Shante Hudson Scott, who brought us all into a same place, same space, with the same mind regarding domestic violence. And I'm grateful she's here with us tonight. We also have Elder Dion Avery here with us tonight and waiting for Pastor Tish Coleman to join us tonight as we continue our conversation regarding domestic violence, intimate partner violence, and ways to advocate for this population. Now, for me, it's close to heart because I'm an overcomer. I've walked in the shoes of one who has been abused, and I'm grateful to God that I was able to get away with my life, my health, and a right mind. Amen. But there are so many who are still being subject to this, who live a life daily of being afraid to move, afraid to speak, not knowing where to go, not knowing who to trust. But as advocates, we want to be in place to aid in making a difference in the lives of those women and even men who are facing abuse every day. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. So, Elder Dion, I'm going to let you start us off tonight, however you feel led to share in the conversation. Amen.
Amen. I think one of the things that I took away on the last show that we had, there are so many men and women out there that are struggling, and they're struggling alone. And that's something that I think the more we speak out, the more we have opportunities to share, like your blog radio show, like different conferences that we participate in, the more we speak out and give voice to the topic, the more people will feel comfortable and feel like it's safe to have some of these conversations. Because until they get to the point of being able to talk about it, they can't get help. You can't help a person if you don't know they're hurting or they're struggling. So I commend you for your blog radio show. I love the show because you're giving voice to it.
Amen. 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 Well, you know, and you say that, I wasn't in a place where I could always give voice to it because I was like most other victims. I was afraid to speak out because first, who would believe me? How would it cause people to respond to me if I told the truth about what happened? So there are a lot of dynamics that occur in the mind of the victim that make you leery to tell. And then, of course, once you tell, what are the options for real help? Yeah, they can tell you to go to a shelter, and the shelter will provide you a place to lay your head. But mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, there really have been no real places that I could go then to talk about it, to get the help. It wasn't there. So, yeah, it is important to me now Even as I look at young women, I think I mentioned to you all that I work at a college, and so I deal with young women who are subject to all types of things on any given day. And it's important to me that they know they have a place to come when it happens. I may not be on campus every day, maybe not every month, but they need to know that they have an outlet, someone that they can talk to and be able to share the experience so that we can get them the help that they need. And they don't have to do it in fear. And I think that's one thing that's held so many back. They're afraid. Afraid to get beat, but afraid to tell that they got beat. You know, what's the dynamic there? But that's the truth of the matter. Pastor Tish Coleman, thank you so much for being with us. You're here. Yay.
Yeah. Come on, I made it on.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're grateful that you're here with us. Lady Shante, tell us what you're thinking. From our conversation last month up until now, what have you been hearing? What have you been feeling? Where do you feel a push that may be a little different than it was last time we were together?
The push that I've been feeling is basically from last time when we all had shared was just having that creative platform. Another, like you all have been saying, another outlet, and truly your podcast here is another outlet for getting this awareness out there. You know, we're women who were always in front of the public, and it's one thing to reach an audience, but when you deal with such topics as this, it's good to have a tribe. Like you said, you can go to a shelter, you can, you know, sit on someone's couch like we talked about last time, and you can talk to people to get the counseling and the therapy that you need, but also to have that tribe of people where you can share or get those intimate details. You can get that testimony. You can get that one-to-one touch or just that connection or that bond. I think this is a good effort in having a tribe. This line this field that you're doing, or, you know, especially with Dion and what Tish is doing, just having those tribes where you can really reach out, you can really connect and get that empowerment that you need. And like you said, not in the sense of just being a survivor, but where you have people that can gather around you to help you to overcome or to be that overcomer with this, such as domestic violence. So, yes, definitely this is a creative platform where, like you all were saying, the voice can be heard.
Yeah, amen. 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 And I liked the mention of the tribes. And it's God. It's God that he's allowed us, the four of us, to collaborate on something this dynamic and something that's so necessary. And the blessing is that although we're here in the same region at the moment, mm-hmm. the conversation that we're sharing is global, mm-hmm. because I have listeners in Africa that experience the same thing our ladies in RVA, surrounding counties, Virginia, the state, are facing. And they also seeking someone to give them an ear and for someone to have a voice and someone to speak life into them when they feel like no one is paying attention. So, you know, I told you all I love you and I thank you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And I'm grateful to God that he has aligned me with like-minded sisters, that we understand the importance of this mandate that he's given us to be the voice in this season. And we don't take it lightly. I think I can say that with ease. We don't take this assignment lightly. It matters to us. Lady Tish, last month, before we were about to go off, you almost had me ready to preach on you. Amen. Because you went in with some real truth about the reluctance of folk to really accept that this is a situation that's prevalent in places you may not expect to find it. And so with the heart that you have for this and the work that you do, sort of share with us, sort of share your heart with us now about what you're feeling and the dynamics. We're in a brand new year with new opportunity, with new presence, with, you know, focus is a little fine-tuned even the more. What do you feel like are the steps that we're gonna that we should be taking or looking towards in this new year regarding domestic violence? Where should we be looking?
Well, the first thing that I feel in my spirit from the last time that we were on, a lot of it has to do with the fact that there aren't enough places that are comfortable enough for someone to go to. And the sad part about it is it starts with the church, because they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to acknowledge it. They don't want to believe that the mother of the church is being abused, or the first lady is being abused, or the choir director is being abused, and that the prominent man of valor that we see before us, you know, who has his garment on but not in him, is abusing this individual, or vice versa, because, again, as I stated, the men are being abused as well. We say we're a place for a safe haven for them to come to, but they have to go out to worldly resources, which is nothing wrong with it. But if we are the body here to help and build up, then why isn't the body helping and building up? So there needs to be an understanding. There needs to be more revealing of what's going on. We need to not, it's not taboo. We need to talk about it. We need to address it, and we need to provide that help that is so very needed, because I didn't have that help. I did have my family, but if it was down, if it came down to the church, I didn't have that kind of help until I've been, you know, just critically abused. I had already been sexually, physically, mentally, emotionally, and physically abused repeatedly before it escalated, you know, and that saying that it gets worse before it gets better, it did get worse, a lot worse before it got better. So I think there should be training. There should be some training classes for those in ministry to be able to help and be just as effective as those in the world, because of the shelters that are out there, we could be providing the same help. It's necessary. We are supposed to be protectors of each other. We're supposed to be lifting each other up. We are supposed to be here for one another, but we are absent when it's time to roll up our sleeves and get involved.
You know, Tish, I'm glad you said that as far as training in the church. While the church has been absent in the subject of domestic violence, honestly, and this is just, you know, Elder Dion's perspective, you know, I'm just one person, but I would rather the church be absent in that area than to give someone what they think is help that could potentially hurt. Because
that's true.
I have found is that just because you are a survivor does not mean that you can be an advocate, because being an advocate means you need to get the training necessary so that you release your back hurt so that you don't hurt someone else or cause them to be hurt. So
and
I agree. I need to be training in the church.
Can I say something to that, too?
Okay. Yes.
Go ahead, Tish. I'll go after Tish.
I do agree.
Go ahead, Tish.
I agree with that, but to a certain degree, only because
if we are to be about our Father's business, He is a healer. He is a reconciler. Mm-hmm. He is a keeper. And so if they are coming in, if there is to be someone who is trained, they need to be trained by a professional. They need to be certified to be provide this help, because if that's the case, then we can't go to the church when we need counseling for our marriages, because there have been those that have given the wrong advice, and, you know, people have stayed, again, they probably were being abused and were given the wrong advice and stayed in the marriage and almost lost their lives. I just really believe with the proper mindset, with the training, with the right understanding, we can operate in wisdom to be able to be that station of hope and help that God has sanctioned in the earth. If we are supposed to be that one-stop shop, we are supposed to, yes, there are psychiatrists outside of the body of Christ. There are doctors, and, you know, every doctor is not filled with the Holy Ghost, but with prayer, the doctor does his job, and Christ heals. So I don't see why, if they are coming to the church, some people may not be comfortable going anywhere but to the church. As bad as sometimes it may seem that others are being hurt by the church, some may not feel comfortable going anywhere but to the church. So I think either...
But the church has to be equipped.
There should be proper training.
And this is why I said to what you were saying, Valerie, just the thing with the creative platform. And one thing that I like about what you have, myself, Elder Dion, Pastor Tish, is that we are not just church leaders, but we have professional degrees. We have certifications, training. So those are very important, because, and I like what Dion said about, you know, this whole thing of, you know, people want to jump on the advocacy bandwagon, because you have some platforms or some people who come in the name of advocacy or coaching, consultations, all of the likes, but they wear their testimony or their experience as a badge of honor for their wounds. They're not really healed or out of it, but they use it as a badge of honor, again, just to carry their wound. And what you're doing is hurt people, go around bleeding on other people, and you're really not teaching, or you're really not educating people from a holistic perspective. So now what you have is just a backing or following of people who are not getting set free, not getting really delivered, or not really getting the help that they really need to, you know, walk into wholeness, because you're still carrying residue or you're still hurting, and you won't get trained. Like, you know, you all been saying, you won't get the proper training. So it is, I do agree, important that as leaders or people in the church that they do seek the proper resources to get the training, get the education, so that they can teach and train people right. You know, like they say, get some learning with your burning. So get some learning with your burning. That's all I'm saying.
Amen. 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 We do have a few callers on the line tonight. If you have a question or a comment, we ask that you press 1 and we can bring you live. And that's for any of the callers on the line. If you have a question or a comment, please press 1 and we will bring you live. I know it's probably been about 5 years now, but there was a group, and the person who was over domestic violence in Chesterfield County, Patricia, was actually doing training for church leaders. And it was amazing, even then, how many churches did not want to give her space and time to come in and train church leaders. It was disheartening. We would come together, and she had sent information to all churches in the region and maybe had participation from 6 that wanted to train leaders to be able to recognize and aid those who were dealing with domestic violence. Like you said, Lady Tish, they don't really want to deal with it. they don't want to deal with it because it's happening in their home. And so if I'm a leader and it's happening in my home, I'm not going to invite you to come to the table and talk about me. And I'm going to act like I don't hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to invite you to come because I don't want to hear what you got to say.
Exactly.
I don't want you to cause no more ruffle in my house. I already got enough ruffles as it is. So you stay out with that. You invite them to come to your place. Invite them to come to your symposium or your meeting, but I'm not going to let you come in my house and cause no more problems for me, not recognizing that I got a problem. And so it's a challenge when we look at the church. And, yes, it's supposed to be a place where people can come and be whole. It's a place where they can come and be reconciled back to Christ if that's what's needed. It's a place where they should get poured into, where there are voids in their lives. But because of the foolishness that exists in the house, it ain't going to happen. Let me read this. One of the listeners just texted me, and seems true, even if it's someone else's cause, causes people to reflect on their own lives, and that's true. Facing the truth, even if it's someone else's truth, causes people to reflect on their own lives. But a lot of times people don't want to deal with their truth.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to deal with their own truth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord have mercy. But that right
and
there. go ahead, baby.
But see, that's
one
go ahead.
I'm sorry. One of the things that I find that is prevalent when it comes to domestic violence, when it comes to the church, when it comes to misconceptions of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People believe it starts and stops with somebody knocking you upside your head. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's where these platforms come into place so that we can educate people to let them know it doesn't start and stop with someone putting their hands on you. That's
mm-hmm.
the
right.
end result. At that point, that's the end of the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's mm-hmm. why things like this, it's so important because they need to know it starts with the emotional abuse. It starts
mm-hmm.
with the psychological piece of it. You know, it
yes.
starts with
yes.
someone financially controlling your money.
Yes.
That's where it starts, not with them
mm-hmm.
putting their hands on you, because by the time
mm-hmm.
it gets there, they've
Come
done
on.
All the other
Come
things.
Yeah.
That's
and you're
result.
Vulnerable. Yeah, you're vulnerable by that point. It's like your body bag by that point. You've been so beat down.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
That's the end of the
uh-huh.
line.
Mm-hmm. And
I think that's
like you
were
saying about. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Now, just the whole piece about owning your truth. Until, you know, persons who are dealing with it come in to their truth or call it for what it is, then they don't want to be free. They don't want to get out of it or, you know, don't know how to get out of it. But it starts with owning
right.
your truth. It starts with naming it. You are being abused,
uh-huh.
whether it's emotionally, physically, mentally, sexually, call it that. Because, you know, and I'm going to say this, in the church we have a good way of masking things and hiding it. You know, and that's why I say you don't want to get the help, because it's, oh, it'll get better. Oh, you know, oh, they love me. I'm going to pray for them. Oh, you know, I'm a confident spirit. I can do it. But till you call it for what it really is and be honest with yourself, you're not going to come out of it. It's just going to keep
yep.
going. It's a cycle that's just going to repeat itself. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, Elder Dion, you said it, you know, when it gets to the point where they're going upside your head, that's the end of the trail, because the next thing is a body bag coming in the house and picking you up. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you're right there.
Amen.
Because you never know when it's going to be the last.
Yeah.
But I think that the things that I think we should be releasing even now is to start giving them identifiers of abuse 101 to let them know, like, mm-hmm. if he said when you get paid, you can't go, you got to bring your check to the house and you got to give me your money and then I'll give you money so you can go do ABC and then give me your phone. Well, who did you call? When they got to check mm-hmm. everything that you do, when they got to stand over top of you when you texting and stand over top of you when they talking and every conversation got to be on speaker and you can't go anywhere without them tracking you. They didn't put a device on your phone so they know everywhere you are and, you know, things like that. You got to have my food cooked and it's got to be a certain way and you got to clean the house and it's got to be a certain way. When they're controlling, that controlling and domineering over every little facet of your existence, mm-hmm. you better be watching. Now, mind you, I know we all, you know, those that we're going to be good to our husbands. We're going to clean the house and we're going to cook. I'm going to cook sometimes. Let me go ahead and be honest. He loves me that way. Amen.
Amen.
But I recognize balance, and we both recognize because of what we've experienced in life. But when you can see in other people, just in conversation or going out to dinner with other people, and you hear the conversation and you see the slight flinch when he comes around and you see when he starts speaking, you see things that are indicators, and you say, "Boo, you all right?" Oh, yeah. Because me, I'm going to ask, what's going on? Because I just can't sit back and look at a situation and be like, man, that really does look like and act like I don't see it. I can't act mm-hmm. like I don't see it. Not anymore. There might have been a time that I would have seen it and not seen it. But I can't act like I don't see it anymore. Because I'm like, God, I see that. Now, what if she go home tonight and he kill her? And you allow me to see this and I ain't say nothing. What if that happened? So I be thinking about that. But you know, we've got to let people understand the beginning signs and what it looks like before it gets to, I'm going to knock you upside your head. And then I'm going to say, oh, baby, I'm sorry. I'll never do that again. I love you. I'll never hit you again. I don't know what happened to me, but I just love you so much, and I don't want to lose you, and I just lose my – before you get to all of that, all those lies, they need to know what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Go ahead, Tish.
Well, when it came to the abuse that I was subjected to, it wasn't so much that I didn't know the signs. I saw the signs, but I wanted to ignore them in the beginning. But as they quickly progressed, me reaching out, I was abused for a little while before I actually reached out for help. And one of the reasons was I was ashamed. And that's why I said a lot about the body being trained and receiving the proper teaching and cultivation to be able to help those individuals instead of having a judgmental mentality or a response in that manner. Because the one thing that I feared was hearing, well, I told you not to marry him. Well, I told you this mm-hmm. was going to happen. Well, we knew that you shouldn't have married him. Mm-hmm. In that instance, I don't need your spiritual hoopla. In that instance, I need your care. I need your understanding. I need your help. I think I'm aware that after getting my head knocked upside a wall, I married the wrong one. That's obvious. I've got the bruises to prove it. But now will you help me, though? Or will you make me feel more ashamed? Will you make me feel worse than what I already do? As hard as it is to believe, after getting knocked upside the head, slammed through a wall, you know, sexually abused, you can still be made to feel even worse when you go to reach out for help and you're met with judgment.
Amen.
So I have an understanding, a bigger understanding, being in the midst of all of that, as to why some people either try to handle it themselves or just don't say anything and hope that God will deliver.
Lord have mercy.
I think the people we also forget about, a people we also forget about when we accept the abuse, at some point, there was love there.
Yeah, I accept this
because I love that person.
Right.
You know, and
right.
I believe they love me. I believe they don't know how to love me, but I believe they love me. And because I love them, I'm going to endure. And I'm going to try to wait it out and see if they'll change. But we all know they typically don't change without help.
And I can speak for myself too. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Dion. Well, you better keep going.
Ahead.
I'm sorry, Dion.
But
to even with what Tish was saying about the, you know, the church. You know, that's they can be, you know, the church can be some cruel people sometimes. Because in my situation, you know, I had people to say, well, girl, you don't want to work on your marriage. Girl, you don't want to work. Girl, how could you do that? How can you? You know, my thing was, okay, well, you go live with them. You deal with the abuse. You deal with the verbal. You deal with the mental. You sit and lay there. You deal with all that. Then you come back and you tell me. I don't need you to talk behind my back. I don't need you to say it, because it was funny. Nobody, it's kind of like, you know, like you say, you used to love them or you loved them at one point. Nobody really sees that. But all this time, you know, people knew, well, she shouldn't have did that. That wasn't the one that's, you know, I don't know why she did that. Nobody says nothing. But time when it gets out, or, you know, when you're wounded, or when you're going through and you're getting whole and you're, you know, recovering, then that's when you hear all of the talk. Like you said, well, girl, I told, I knew this, I knew that. Well, where were you? Where are the accountability partners? Where are the persons? That's when you need to try to gather around to help you, you know, and not judge, well, girl, I told you, you should do this, you should do that. But where are those to help you heal and to help you to recovery, to overcome? So I can identify with that. It sometimes the church can be very critical, very, very critical, and not discerning enough to know. So definitely need that.
Yeah. Definitely need that. Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm you know, while we're having this dialogue, I was just scrolling through my Facebook page, and I was like, how many of our Facebook friends, male or female, how many of them have been abused too? You know, how many of them have a story and they've been unwilling to share because they've not been able to heal? When you think about how many young women, because of abuse from men, decided that now I got to like women because women not going to hurt me the way that a man did. I mean, the psychological pain that comes from abuse is goes so deep. And like we're all saying, you know, we want the church to be in place to help heal and get you back to a place of wholeness. But the truth is, the church not ready. The church not ready. The church, the body as a whole, not ready. Now, y'all have some ministries that are ready.
And that's so sad because, I'm sorry. That's so sad because, you know, there was a time when the church, you know, you had home, community, and the church all worked together as a unit. But now there's just so many gaps. And so how do we as a church, you know, bridge the gap? Because, you know, home taught it, community reinforced it, you know, church acted on it. But now we don't see that. So it's like, how do we fill that gap? Even with this, what we're talking about with domestic violence and being that resource to the community, how do we fill that gap? How do we get ready? I guess that's where we are, Valerie, since you said that. So how do we get ready?
Things that we've shared earlier. It takes proper training. Proper training. We have to be knowledgeable, not just because we were a victim, but because a lot of victims have not healed. They're still bloody. They're still messy. And so you have to be careful with that, because you said it, hurt people hurt people. That's what the books have told us, and we see it. So it's going to take proper training. It's going to take acceptance of ministries to recognize that, oh, this does exist. Oh, I have people in my church who are victims, currently have been victims in past. Let me do something to try to eliminate this from going into the future. I'm not one to watch a lot of television. I just don't. But these snow days had me watching TV I don't usually watch. And I happened to watch an episode of Greenleaf, which blew my mind. But the daughter of the pastor was being beat by a boyfriend. And she didn't want to hear anything that anybody had to say. But she listened to him say, "I'm sorry, and I love you." And she just put on her cape to cover her abuse, her bruises, and went right back to him. And I said, how many of our little girls are doing that same thing? Because nobody is explaining to them, this is not the norm. This is not how this is supposed to be done. This is wrong. We got youth church. We got children's church. We got teen church. But are we talking to them about what dating violence looks like? Are we talking to them about appropriate conversations and behaviors? Are we training them? Are we doing that?
I think those are very valid statements. I think for me, we have to have trailblazers like ourselves who are willing to, for lack of better terms, put ourselves on Front Street. Because the reality is, in order for us to help anybody, we have to be willing to talk about it ourselves. We have to be willing to share our experiences to help somebody else. And I think for us, it's we have to help home, meaning our own churches, but we can't stop there. Mm-hmm. We have to be willing to
make the connections in the school system to be able to talk to these young men and young women and talk about what a healthy relationship looks like, not a boyfriend-girlfriend type of relationship, but a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Because in today's society with bullying and things of that nature, there are friendships that are just bad.
Yeah.
So I think we have to start there by venturing out. Once we go into our own churches, we have to be willing to not stop there. And I know for mm-hmm. some people that's a little difficult. For me, I can only speak for Elder D, but for me, that was a big yes, God. I say yes, I mean yes, yes, God, what do you want me to do? So it's not just about my own local home church now. It's how many people can I talk to share and tell them what domestic violence looks like, what the signs are, so they can begin to take a look at their own lives and decide whether or not they need help. Because we all know,
amen,
because we've all endured it, until you're ready, there's nothing anybody can do. Until you're
amen.
Tired
amen.
Of being tired, there's nothing that anybody
yep.
can do.
Nothing. Amen. Well, we're down to a couple minutes.
There's, if I could. If I could just say briefly, with what Elder Dion was saying, I was sitting here saying the same thing. I just didn't get to the mute button because I didn't want any back noise. But she was getting to talk and was hitting on everything that I was saying. And the one word that comes to mind is transparency. If you cannot relate to me, I cannot come to you. We have to become relatable. We have to become reachable. It's not enough for us to reach out to them, but they need to understand that they can reach out to us, that they can reach out to me, that I'm going to roll up my sleeves. And even if it's just to let them cry for a minute to get this out, well, come on, I will hold you. We'll cry together. But guess what? We're not going to stay here. We're going to
mm-hmm.
make some decisions on the next step so that these tears can dry up and we can get our joy back. We can get our life back. If he is a reconciler and a redeemer, then we are going to declare some things, and we're going to walk into that. It's not going to happen overnight, but I'm here. I understand, because it didn't take me overnight. It took me a little time to get back to where I am. It took me a little time to get back all the things that I didn't lose, but I gave up with my choice to go in that direction. But if I don't know that you're here, if I don't know that you really have an understanding, if I don't know that you're going to love me through it, I don't want to talk to you. You can't help me.
Amen. Amen. Well, ladies, thank you. Gosh. We just seem to never have enough time. But we'll be back, listeners, again, first Sunday in February. We'll be back on the air, again, sharing our hearts and lending a voice to the situation called domestic violence. Want to invite you to Abundant Life Church of God in Christ on Saturday, where they'll be having Destined Not Destroyed Symposium, where I will be speaking. Elder D, you've got an event work time on Saturday?
I do. It's called Let's Start Talking, Breaking the Silence. It's next Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon at 27 Walnut Boulevard in Petersburg, Virginia. And it's an open forum. It's a safe place for victims to come out and share their stories, to ask questions on how to get help, for people that don't know what the signs are, for them to get information.
Amen. Well, as always, we thank you for joining us here at the Empowerment Place. It is our desire that you do something to empower yourself daily. But once you've been empowered, take the responsibility to empower someone else. Lady Shante, thank you. Lady Tish, thank you. Elder D, thank you all so much for being with us this week. Absolutely. And again, we'll be back next month. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to find me on Facebook, Valerie Burrell, or email me at empower_yourself@yahoo.com. We'll gladly address them and attempt to be the help that you need so that you can be whole. We say God bless you to each of you, and good night.
Good night.